This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Parade in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap, rolls right, throws to the end zone, catches Brady, touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the uprights, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extend, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here at Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots, of course, began preparation on the field today in practice for the Denver Broncos, the Week 9 encounter of New England and Denver. Of course, the two teams who a year ago intersected in the AFC Championship game with the Broncos prevailing 26-16 following the Patriots' Week 12 win over Denver in dramatic fashion. That 34-30 overtime triumph by New England, of course, coming from behind after a 24-0 deficit. And as the two teams presumed to be the AFC's best coming into the season, and seemingly at this stage of the season, halfway through the regular campaign, right there once again as two contenders for the AFC Conference crown in 2014, vying for a trip to Glendale, Arizona in the Super Bowl, meet there riding a four-game winning streak each. The Patriots with the four straight wins, of course, since their loss to Kansas City on Monday Night Football, putting New England at 6-2 atop the AFC East. The Broncos have lost only once, and they have rolled over the San Francisco 49ers and San Diego Chargers more recently. And as they come into Gillette Stadium, of course, the Broncos, led by Peyton Manning, with a team that seems to be even more complete in many respects than the one that defeated the Patriots a year ago in the AFC Championship. But by the same token, the New England Patriots seem to have strengthened their defense in particular, and offense as well. Tom Brady and the Pats are really clicking these last 4 weeks, and certainly a big contrast in terms of the weaponry with which Brady goes to work this Sunday in comparison with what the Patriots were able to put on the field against the Broncos in last year's AFC Championship game. Of course, that contest was minus Rob Gronkowski, who'd been injured late in the regular season, and the full Gronk was on display and in effect against the Chicago Bears this past Sunday when the Pats rolled over the Chicago Bears by the 51-23 final. Gronkowski with the three touchdown receptions, nine catches overall, well over 100 yards. Brad and LaFell outstanding in addition, surpassing the century mark. And in fact, Brady was 20 for 20, throwing to those two particular targets, LaFell and Gronkowski combined. They had four touchdowns between them. Brady as well, with only five incomplete passes throughout the entire game, five incompletions, five touchdowns for Tom in that performance against the Chicago Bears. And consider that at least on three of those incompletions, really you could chalk it up as a drop to the receiver. And really, by my count, on four of the five, at least the ball was in the receiver's hands. So a near-perfect performance by Tom Brady, and the Patriots very precise. They scored on eight of their nine full series in the contest before victory formation, again in the wake of the 51-23 runaway against the Chicago Bears. So it's the Patriots and the Broncos coming up this Sunday, and the Pats with some moves the last couple of days, as you may know, trying to bolster their defense. Yesterday, just before the NFL's trade deadline passed, they acquired linebacker Jonathan Kiseas, who has been a part-time starter during his career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and as well has Super Bowl-winning experience as a member of the New Orleans Saints. Kiseas, perhaps undersized by some standards as a linebacker, but a good coverage guy. Bill Belichick said, in fact, today that he's really a four-down player for the Patriots coming into this organization. Did have some injury issues with which to deal with the last month or so for Tampa Bay, but seems to be a versatile guy. Kiseas, a linebacker who should provide another sub-personnel player in coverage, and someone who does have special teams experience. In fact, he was the guy who covered up an onside kick in a critical postseason win during his Saints career on the road to that Super Bowl victory over the Indianapolis Colts. In addition, Alan Branch, a traveled defensive lineman who most recently played for the Buffalo Bills, now in the fold for the Pats. Today they made that move official, so New England adding some size on its defensive line with the acquisition of Branch, and of course for the second time in the last 2 weeks, bringing in a linebacker after the trade for Akeem Ayers from the Tennessee Titans last week. And Ayers certainly played well for the Pats on a limited basis, including a sack against Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears this past weekend. So as the Pats and the Broncos get set to go Sunday at 4:25, worth a look back and a listen once more to the highlights and some of the sound bites from this past Sunday's win over the Chicago Bears, who came in, of course, facing a crossroads. But it was the Patriots on a roll. They struck on their fifth play. They scored early, and they scored often. Let's revisit last Sunday's win for New England over Chicago.
I thought that was a really solid effort by our team today. You know, players did a good job all week in practice. Thought we had good execution, good energy. We came out and played with it.
Brady dropping back, looking to throw. Tom's going to throw it to the back of the end zone, left corner. And that ball is going to be caught. Diving receiver, Rob Gronkowski. Touchdown, Patriots.
Big boy's back.
He was a big-time player today, so it was great to get him going like that.
Short dropper Tom throws the game for Gronkowski. Left side. Touchdown, Patriots. He brought it down over the linebacker McClellan with his second score of the day.
It's a lot of big plays, and we got a lot of momentum, so it was a fun day. It still happens like that very often.
Shotgun snap against the four-man rush. Plenty of time to throw toward Gronkowski. Makes the grab, left seat. Stiff arms the defender at the 25. Set free at the 20. Drive to the 15, 10. Angling right to the 5. Gronkowski dives to the goal line. He breaks the plane. His third touchdown for the Patriots.
Beast mode. Protein bars for everybody. Energy.
I mean, I love coaching Tom. Been fortunate to have him the whole career since he's been here. You know, we meet at least twice a week. Spend a considerable amount of time together. I think that's important to have that relationship between the head coach and the quarterback.
Shotgun snap to the quarterback. Under pressure. Starts to run straight ahead. Wrapped up by Hightower. The ball's knocked loose. Ninkovich has it at the 15. Rob's on his feet. Runs it off the tackle at the 10. Ninkovich into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
You know, it's good to see the whole team. You know, ready to go, playing with that kind of energy and execution. Pretty good day for us out there today. You know, set to turn this one around quickly and, you know, get ready for Denver next week.
Defense! No Chandler Jones, no Jerod Mayo. I tell you what, Matt Patricia better get a game ball today. And you better get ready, Denver.
And no doubt the Broncos doing just that as we speak, of course, with Denver coming into Foxborough and Gillette Stadium this Sunday afternoon. The Broncos at 6-1. They've already had their bye. The Patriots at 6-2. And if my broadcast partner, Scott Zolak, doesn't get you amped up for that game, well, simply the mention of Manning and Brady, Broncos and Patriots should. Of course, this being the 16th time that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have shared the same field. Not necessarily playing head-to-head, but that's the way it will be billed these next few days, of course, on the marquee. And certainly the most anticipated matchup of the regular season, now that the Pats are riding their four-game winning streak, and the Broncos as well, on a string of four straight wins. We invite you to join us over the next 2 hours or so by dialing in to 1-855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. Or you can call 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398, on our ACE Ticket hotline. And we invite you to email as well at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Now, to set the lineup for this afternoon's show, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll visit with Dave Logan, longtime voice of the Denver Broncos, a former Bronco, in fact, a guy drafted in three sports, in Major League Baseball, in the NBA, and the NFL, sharing that distinction with only Dave Winfield to be drafted in those three major sports. He's been a very successful high school football coach. He's led three different schools to state championships as a high school football coach out in Denver, and finds the time somehow to host a sports talk show on a daily basis, and he's going to take some time to discuss this Sunday's matchup about Peyton Manning and the Broncos, and of course looking ahead to how he expects them to try to solve Tom Brady and the Patriots offense, and at the same time take advantage of the New England defense, albeit one that has vastly improved, especially in the passing game, over a year ago. Dave Logan will be with us at 4:30. Later on, we'll hear from Dante Hightower, the young linebacker now in his third year for the Patriots out of the University of Alabama. He'll discuss matching wits or not matching wits with Peyton Manning, a quarterback who, of course, in his 17th season has rewritten the record book, more recently surpassing Brett Favre, well over 500 touchdown passes now in his career. Peyton Manning and the Broncos on a roll. He's thrown a touchdown in 46 consecutive games and continues, as mentioned, to really shatter the record book. And Peyton Manning coming up against Tom Brady, this matchup of two of the three winningest quarterbacks in NFL history. Though head-to-head, Brady has conquered Manning more frequently, of course, Peyton with the bragging rights, and more importantly, the trip to the Super Bowl last year in the January win over the Patriots. That was a game played in near perfect conditions at a mile high at Sports Authority Field in Denver, in contrast to the windy, chilly night in Foxborough when Brady led the Patriots to that remarkable second-half comeback in Week 12 of last year's regular season. And looking ahead to this Sunday, we expect similar conditions. And that's something we're going to broach as well with Andy Benoit of the MMQB and SportsIllustrated.com. But more so, we'll delve into his analysis of the video. He's a guy who's made his reputation and, in fact, wrote all the previews in this year's NFL preview issue for Sports Illustrated and does a great job on a weekly basis of breaking down video for the NFL and of the NFL. And Andy Benoit will be with us to talk about the Patriots and the Broncos. You speculate about how they're going to play one another, and I think here's someone who really gives an educated look at both teams. Looking forward to Sunday's 4:25 matchup. In addition, coming up on the show, Jackie Britton, my partner from Patriots.com, will join me as well. But before we hear from Dave Logan, we want to go to Bruce in New York, who's got a thought about today's game, this Sunday's game, as he joins us. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, Bob. Hi.
Good to chat with you. What's on your mind?
Hey, first of all, I really appreciate the show. I love what you've added to the Patriots.com and the play-by-play. I've become a big fan.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. And also Jackie Britton. She's consistently, I've listened to the show, and she says things on your show that turn out to be true on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to hearing from her, too. But the thing I just wanted to say was, you know, people have been talking a lot about the matchup and how much better the Broncos are from a talent perspective. And I just a couple points I wanted to make sort of on the other side. One was Broncos are kind of like Notre Dame. They play all their games at home. And if you've noticed on the road, what they've done so far is they've lost to Seattle, and they beat the Jets, but not convincingly. It was basically a one-score game until the late pick six by Tlaib. So on the road, they seem to be a different team. They're not the overpowering juggernaut, at least not yet. And they have to come and play in our building, and we know about our record in Gillette. And that's not, I haven't heard that getting a lot of press, like where the game is as a factor. The second thing is that we talk about matchups. I think the big matchup I don't hear that much about is John Fox versus Bill Belichick. So I want to get your thoughts on that matchup as far as its significance in the game. I think Belichick is just, you know, lights out so much of a stronger coach than John Fox.
Well, a couple of things. First, I'll take the point about where the game is played, and in particular, with the forecast for this weekend at Gillette in Foxborough. We're expecting snow over the weekend and chilly temperatures, and at last glance, for me, I think the wind was forecast to be in that 15 to 20 mile per hour range. That certainly bodes well for the Patriots, and you can't discount home field advantage in any sport, but especially based on what we've seen this season in the NFL, Bruce. You're absolutely right about that, and the Broncos are a different team, and even when you go back to last year's series between the two, though Denver had that 24-0 lead in the first matchup of the teams in the regular season, that was due in large part to the Patriots' turnovers. But New England took control of that game, and Brady certainly was far more comfortable, far more effective, cutting through the high wind on a cold night at Gillette than Peyton Manning was. That said, the Broncos are 6-1, and I think this team from Denver has struck a lot of people with its physicality, its quickness, its speed on defense, the swagger that Aqib Talib and DJ Ward have brought to the secondary, and the play of DeMarcus Ware, along with Von Miller on the defensive line to complement Wolf and Knight and inside. So this Denver team might be better suited from a defensive standpoint to succeed on the road and in the postseason wherever Denver has to play. And the way things are going right now, of course, so the Broncos are in the lead chair in terms of trying to secure the number one seed. But you can't discount home field advantage, especially in less than desirable elements, because through the course of their careers, it's a matter of fact, a matter of record, that Tom Brady has been the better quarterback. And you look at the two head coaches, and I think just about every neutral observer and especially the biased ones like those of us here in Foxborough, would put the check mark in Belichick's column. But at the same time, I think John Fox is a coach who, in many respects, is underrated. He was the defensive coordinator for the Giants, shutting out Minnesota in the NFC Championship game in 2000 to lead the Giants into the Super Bowl. He's taken two different teams to the Super Bowl in Carolina and Denver. I know the Broncos last year really fell apart right from the outset against the Seahawks, but I still think Fox is a good coach. But there's no denying that Bill Belichick has the more impressive resume. And I think even going back to last year's overtime in Foxborough, taking what was in many respects an unorthodox step by choosing the wind upon winning the coin toss, and of course it proved huge in the end because the punt by Ryan Allen with the wind at his back, twisting in the wind, eventually came down in front of Wes Welker. It struck Tony Carter. The Patriots recovered. They kicked the game-winning field goal in overtime. And, you know, before that, long before that, when the coin toss was flipped in the air for the overtime session, a lot of people had to be wondering, why is Bill Belichick not taking the ball to start overtime? And, of course, as a great student of his own history, he had a lot of experience to back up his decision. And eventually the Patriots validated it. But, yeah, I think there are a couple of excellent points that you do make going into this Sunday's game.
Yeah, well, again, I just say about the defense, I agree that it looks a lot better from a personnel standpoint. But that's my rant against Fox, is he has great material to work with. I don't know, I just haven't seen him do it with less great material. And the thing is, again, a small sample size, but on the road they've been a different defense as well.
Why? And I think that's a good point.
Remember, in Denver, they play with we talk about the dome teams having the advantage. They have in Denver. They're playing with that thin air, and I'm seeing in the fourth quarters of those games, other opponents fall apart, which I think makes this game so important this weekend. Because if we do meet these guys again, like in January, it'd be much better to play them here than there, just for that reason.
No doubt about it. You know, and I look back at last year. What bothers me more than the AFC Championship game was what allowed the Broncos to have the right to host that game, and that's going back to Week 15. Now, the Patriots won some games last year, probably two, especially the Cleveland outcome and the Saints game, but nonetheless, they had a great opportunity. Had they won in Miami in Week 15 to be the number one seed, and remember, of course, the Dolphins came back and won that game, and eventually the Broncos were able to host on a perfect day in Denver in January for that AFC Championship. Appreciate the call, Bruce, and do appreciate the thoughts. And, you know, again, when you're talking about playing on the road for the Broncos, it does have an impact, no doubt, on the Denver offense in some respects. We know how unnerved Peyton Manning was a week ago. Just to have the distraction or the potential distraction of the video board at Sports Authority Field unnerving him, as it was. And now he's going to have to deal with the crowd noise plus the weather conditions, which should make it very uncomfortable from the beginning with a 4:25 kickoff after we turn the clocks back Sunday here at Foxborough's Gillette Stadium. So there is, I think, a lot of validity to the point that Bruce made, but I don't want to overstate it. You're still looking at a team that is talented on both sides, really immensely talented in its receiving core. The line of Denver doesn't get enough credit, and Peyton Manning, of course, gets the ball out so quickly and is so decisive in reading a defense, even pre-snap, and then executing his offense once he has the ball in his hands. And Ronnie Hillman is a guy who's really come on for them in the running game. He's given Denver what it lacked after no Sean Moreno side with Miami, who's a free agent in the offseason. Monte Ball was set by some injury problems and a bit disappointing early this year, but Hillman has run the ball well for Denver. And again, the defense for Denver seems to be playing with an edge right now, even without Danny Trevathan, the very good yet injured linebacker. And again, the secondary has been aggressive, led by Tlaib, impressive. But as Bruce pointed out, they did struggle a bit with the Jets, more from an offensive standpoint in that game. I think with New York dropping a lot of defenders, really rushing only three, uncharacteristic for Rex Ryan in that game, and dropping eight primarily to flood the field with defenders and force Peyton Manning and the Broncos into a lot of punts in the first half of that game in particular. We'll talk a little bit more about the strategy of the game coming up on the show. We're going to chat with Dave Logan, in fact, the voice of the Broncos, in just a short while. We'll pause for a timeout here on the Bob Soucy Show from inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios here at Gillette Stadium. And again, if you'd like to join us, you can email at webradio@patriots.com or dial in on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 1-855-PATS-500. Still to come, Dave Logan, hopefully Scott Zolak if there's time, Jackie Britton, no doubt, Andy Benoit as well, and of course, Dante Hightower, right after these words on Patriots.com radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome back to our Subway Fresh broadcast studios from Gillette Stadium. Bob Soucy with you, of course, with our producer today, Zach Lane, filling in for Kevin Collins. A well-deserved day off for Kevin with some out-of-studio business to tend to, and it's great to have you with us. We're hoping to connect with Dave Logan, the longtime voice of the Broncos, and hopefully we'll chat soon with my broadcast partner on the Patriots Radio Network, Scott Zolak, as well. But Zoe is tied up down the hallway in some TV taping right now. He's got a couple of shows to prepare for this week. Patriots All Access and Patriots This Week with former Pats as well, Matt Chatham and Christian Fourier. And, of course, Patriots All Access features conversations between Scott Zolak and Bill Belichick, plus Mike Reese, Paul Perillo of ESPN Boston and PFW, respectively, with Steve Burton from WBZ, with contributions from Jackie Britton and Dan Roach of WBZ, and many more, of course, involved in All Access. It's a great show. Airs locally in Boston on WBZ, CBS affiliate Channel 4 on Friday nights, and you can watch it as well if you're logging on or downloading from afar by way of Patriots.com. The show is archived after it airs on Friday nights here in Boston. Well, today here at Gillette Stadium, big media day, a lot of regional media, even some national media turning out for the press conferences held by Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in anticipation of this next encounter of New England and Denver. Of course, the 16th time that Tom Brady shares the same field with Peyton Manning and the two quarterbacks who certainly rank among the icons in the game, not only of current times, but of course of all time, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, with tremendous mutual respect as well. So interesting to read the comments or hear the comments of both when talking about one another. And Peyton Manning is a guy that Tom Brady said today he admires and he's looked up to because of his consistency, his devotion to his craft year-round. As Brady put it, it's not only during football season, but it goes back to March and the offseason, of course, and all the time that one commits to his craft. It's really a lifestyle, even for the great players like Brady and Manning, who we, from the outside, think of or associate with lifestyles of the rich and famous. These are players who certainly invest tremendous passion and time and energy and study to their work beyond what they do in practice and on game days, and that's what's made them the great quarterbacks they have been for so long, with Manning at 38 and Brady at 37, with Peyton in his 17th year and Tom in his 15th, and of course two quarterbacks who a year ago intersected twice in a memorable game here at Foxborough's Gillette Stadium in November, and then, of course, in the AFC Championship game with Peyton Manning denied what would have been a second Super Bowl title for him. He has won it once with the Colts, he has lost it with Indianapolis, and he has lost it with Denver, whereas Tom, of course, has gone 3-2 in his career in the Super Bowl, each, of course, trying to add at least one more Lombardi trophy to their team's respective showcases. Quarterback standing by with us in a short while, Scott Zolak, and I mentioned Dave Logan, the voice of the Broncos. We're hoping to connect with him. But when I talked about the press conferences today between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the local media, those are segments you can actually watch and listen if you haven't already via Patriots.com. You get the full press conference online archive, but you may not be able to hear what both had to say, or at least Bill had to say today, to the Denver media. And I always find it interesting to compare and contrast, you know, how revealing a subject is, whether it's the opposing coach talking to the New England media, like, for example, John Fox this afternoon speaking with Patriots reporters, or in this case, Bill Belichick talking to the Denver media. And today, Bill was asked about Peyton Manning in both press conferences and, of course, reiterated his tremendous respect for Peyton Manning. Belichick today said, "Manning is the best quarterback I've coached against." That's what he told the Denver media. And later was asked about Wes Welker and that pick play a year ago that injured Aqib Talib. And here's exactly the way Belichick's answer is transcribed on the Broncos press release after his conference call with Denver media. "I'm way past that. I have a lot of respect for Wes and what he did for us and what he's done for the Broncos and what he's done throughout his career." Period. End quote. And I think that's a good note on which to go into this Sunday's game between these teams, because while there was certainly some ill will circulating in the thin air of Denver at that moment when Talib went down and the Patriots took a huge blow, opposite Peyton Manning and the Broncos last January in the AFC Championship. Nonetheless, it's nice to have the air cleared as they meet once again here in 2014 with these two teams each riding a four-game winning streak. Well, speaking of great quarterbacks and insightful ones at that, students of the game, my broadcast partner on the Patriots Radio Network at our flagship 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, a co-host as well of the Gresham Zoe program, 10 to 2 weekdays on the Sports Hub, and someone who tweets out with regularity on at Scott Zolak is none other than the Scott Zolak. Zoe, how goes it?
How we doing, Bob? Very excited for this week. Very, very excited.
You said after Sunday's game between the Patriots and the Bears that you might not sleep this week. Have you got a few winks in the last few days?
You know what? I am a little sluggish today. Now, I think it's the big taping of the TV day today with all access and everything. But coach is in a good mood. Everybody's in a good mood. I think winning exhibits that. So just keep this train rolling. It's another week of Brady versus Manning. I think we're fortunate enough to see it for 16 times. Not many people can say that. And you kind of look deeper into it as to what makes both these guys so darn good is, their preparation, I think their appreciation, and more importantly, the respect for each other. And, I think even for the respect of their opponents. And you see Peyton get after the scoreboard operator this past week. I don't know if he was so mad about, the noise, that's one thing, but to show Philip Rivers up there in contrast to him, that people boo. I think Peyton respects his opponent. That's first thing you need to do at the National Football League level is do that first, and then hopefully things will fall in line.
Zoe, I think it's a good point. And also one of the things Peyton said when interviewed after the game most recently, too, is that, hey, we've gone against two teams that have been really depleted in San Francisco and San Diego. So Peyton Manning kind of putting things in perspective, too, with just how well Denver's played. Nonetheless, this Broncos team, again, very impressive offensively. Demaryius Thomas coming off four straight 100-yard games. Peyton, of course, has gone well past Brett Favre now with over 500 touchdown passes for his career. But the Broncos seem to be a better team on defense. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do. And I think it starts with their edge guys. Obviously, we didn't see Von Miller in the AFC Championship game last year. They acquired DeMarcus Ware. And had those two type of edge guys, and you look at the two Patriot losses, that's where they struggled, is on the edge. Now, granted, it was at Miami and at Kansas City against guys like Tom Lee and Cameron Wake, where the benefit of the crowd noise allowed those defenders to get a little bit of a jump. Hopefully playing at home, that'll allow guys like, let me put my seatbelt on, very dangerous driving here, the back roads of wild, crazy Rentham. Hopefully Solder and Bomer get a pretty good look at those guys and be able to jump them on a snap count. And Tom's got to do a better job, too, taking care of the edge guys. Extend the snap counts. Go on hard counts, mix it up, keep those guys on edge on the other side. Don't allow them to get in some sort of rhythm when they're rushing the passer.
Now, Zoe, how much does it worry you that Knighton is such a force inside and Wolf, of course, back in the Denver lineup, and Tom may have nowhere to go, try to escape those edge rushers looking to step up in the pocket? And we know about the Patriots' difficulties on the interior offensively. It seems to be an issue that they've corrected with Connolly and Wendell, but you still have the rookie Stork at center. Communication going up against those guys this weekend.
I think people are up and down on Stork, but granted, he's a rookie. He's going to have some issues. He's going to have a holding call here or there. He's going to have a missed assignment. But, the bullets are flying, and I'm comfortable having those three guys in the middle because I think they're strong, they're smart, they got a low center of gravity. I think from a communication standpoint, things have been better than they have the first several weeks. So, let's roll with those three guys in the middle, and let you have walkthroughs and practice for make sure everybody's on the same page. And that's up to Brady in the backs, too, to help, maybe bring Hooman in a little bit, maybe Devlin at times. If those guys are struggling, start chipping on them. But you bring up the big guy in the middle, That's a guy they gave a guy like Logan Mankin some struggles in that AFC Championship game. So they just need to be better in the middle. And that's, same thing with Denver. If you're going to get after Manning, get after him up the middle. Quarterbacks hate having people at their feet.
Hey, Zoe, lastly, and our counterpart Dave Logan is standing by, but with regards to how the Pats will defend Manning and the Broncos a year ago in that regular season matchup, they used what I've heard has been termed a rope-a-dope effect, in essence forcing Peyton, or at least tempting Peyton, to hand off, and no Sean Moreno ran for over 200 yards. Do you expect a similar approach this week, albeit one that might be a little bit more aggressive with Revis and Browner, respectively?
Yeah, I would too. I mean, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots come out of some sort of zone. I mean, we saw it in the beginning with Chicago last week, who had three fantastic, massively sized offensive weapons. Probably from a quarterback standpoint, I've got 6'5", 6'6", you know, that run 4.3s and 4.4s. It's quarterback's dream. And to respect that, I think the Patriots came out a little bit of that soft shell zone. And they did play zone back in the day in the early 2000s when they frustrated Peyton. Now, you can play man when you get down and tight, but I think there'll be a good mixture of everything, Bob.
Hey, Zoe, appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
I'll see you Sunday.
I'll see you Sunday. All right, Scott Zolak, my partner, of course, on the Patriots Radio Network, and joining us now, a guy who's been patient enough to wait for the last few minutes out in Denver, Dave Logan. As I mentioned off-air, 18th year as the play-by-play voice of the Broncos, a former Bronco himself, one of two athletes drafted in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL, and, of course, a very successful high school football coach out in Colorado, and somebody who knows the Broncos probably as well, if not better, than anybody else. And, Dave, I don't know if you heard Scott Zolak's analysis of what the Patriots might do, but what would you expect as we welcome you aboard? Thank you for your time.
Absolutely, Bob. Great to be with you. Yeah, it was an interesting conversation you and Scott were having.
They're all
honestly,
interesting.
I don't disagree with too much of it. I think that from the Broncos' perspective, I think from an offensive standpoint, I think they're trying to prepare for anything. I think, and I talked with Peyton earlier today, they made a point of saying any time that he's gone against a Bill Belichick coach team, he said that the whole idea is to try to figure out what they're doing and to be able to do so in a reasonably short period of time, because if it takes too long for you to figure out what he's doing, you usually find yourself down 17-0 or 24-0. So I think the Broncos know that it's going to be a chess match, so to speak, with the Patriots' defense. And I think on the other side of the football, Denver's defense feels pretty good about how they've played thus far. Even though the Patriots are on a roll, they've won four straight games. I mean, Tom's had 14 touchdown passes, not a pick in those four. The Denver defense has played very solid. They've got a number of guys back. They've had a few additions in the offseason. So I think this is one of the few times that, frankly, at least from my perspective, the Denver brings a balanced team into the next game.
Yeah, it's a great point you made, Dave. We got a call a little while ago from a fan who wondered about the Broncos being a different team at home versus the road. And from my point of view, I look at the Denver defense this year, and I think that's a team that travels well. And you noted the guys who are back we didn't see last year in the AFC Championship and how well Denver played in that game. But I want to ask you about two additions in the secondary in particular.
Sure.
First, one of them, of course, the former Patriot Aqib Talib, the other being Ward as the safety who, of course, played so well for the Browns a year ago here at Foxborough's Gillette Stadium. What kind of an impact have they made from bringing toughness along with speed and athleticism to that defense?
Yeah, I think the key, and you said it first, was toughness. I think it's pretty clear that John Elway wanted to upgrade a couple of things, not only in his defense, but the entire team. One of those was speed. And the other was toughness, whether it be mental toughness or physical toughness. And I think when you talk about Talib and Ward, certainly Ward brings a real punch, figuratively speaking, from that safety spot. He's had more tackles for losses in the last 2 years than any other safety in the league. You do try to work on getting guys like that into coverage, and that'll be the battle, I think, for the Broncos in terms of when Tom Brady decides to throw the ball, what do they do with T.J. Ward? I think he's one of the better run-stopping safeties and also combining a pretty good ability to cover. But still, when you get safeties involved in coverage from an offensive standpoint, I think you feel pretty good about it. Talib has been everything the Broncos hoped he would be. He's had a couple of interceptions, but what I've been most impressed with from his standpoint is his willingness to come up and throw his body in and make tackles. Too often we see in football today corners that say, well, listen, I'm a cover guy. I don't get paid to tackle. And I'm probably old school as a former player, but my feeling is you're out there on the field. You better find ways to get guys on the ground when somebody breaks into the secondary and not look for a place to hide. Talib doesn't do that. I think he's been physically everything the Broncos had hoped he would be, and maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, especially with this matchup when you've got a guy like Talib, and you mentioned Ward as being physical players in the secondary. On the other side, too, you have Revis and Browner, who seem to bring that for the Patriots and certainly did this past Sunday against the Bears.
Yeah, I like both those guys very much. Revis is a guy that I admire because he's got an ability to come up and really play press coverage. He's seemingly very, very bright. He disrupts receivers at the line of scrimmage, and yet he'll tackle you as well. Browner's a big, big corner that is not afraid to throw his body up in there as well. So I think it's been, for the most part, I think both teams are happy with both additions that they've had in the back end of their respective secondaries.
We're visiting with the voice of the Broncos, Dave Logan, and a defensive back we haven't mentioned yet is Chris Harris Jr. We didn't see him in the AFC Championship game, Dave. How good is he?
You know what, Bob? I do their games, so I'm probably a little biased, but I think he's really good. I mean, I think he's a confident corner. You have to be confident if you're going to play on the edge at this level or, frankly, any level. And I think if you just look at his ability to distract receivers at the line of scrimmage, to come up and play press sometimes, to play off. He's a student. He's a guy that really studies hard. There's been much made in terms of his film watching and how long he does that and how many hours he spends. But you can tell just sort of how he lines up. He's not the most physically gifted guy in the world. I mean, this was an undrafted college free agent that I think you tip your hat to, because he's really made himself into one of the better corners in the league. He's not a big money corner by any stretch of the imagination. But I think if you look strictly at production on the field, I mean, and frankly, and this is me talking, not the Broncos, but if you said, listen, you can only take one corner this year from the Broncos in a game, the other one has to sit down for a game, I don't necessarily think it would be a keep to leave. I think Chris Harris might be the guy that they would pick. He's been that good, and that's not a shot at a keep to leave, but Chris Harris has been that good so far this year.
Well, and I would imagine it's a difficult choice if you had the same question regarding your defensive ends, Von Miller, and of course, DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, you'd probably take Vaughn. I think Vaughn looks to be back to the pre-ACL injury state. I mean, he came back last year when he had the suspension, and frankly, he looked heavy to me. I thought he was 15 to 20 pounds heavy. He had the torn ACL, of course, later in the season in that game in Houston, and he's some 8 or 9 months off that ACL. But he's playing without the knee brace. He looks like the Von Miller of old, and this is a guy that in his first 2 years in the league had 30 sacks. 11.5, I think, his rookie year, 18.5 his second year. He looks like that guy to me, which is obviously great news for the Broncos defense.
Of course, he's an outside linebacker and moves around a bit. How much, though, has Ware influenced him off the field and helped him really flourish this season?
Yeah, I think it's been good for him. I think DeMarcus is such a professional, both on and off the field. And he's not a professional that can't play. I mean, he's a guy that has numbers, and he's a guy that still has, I think, plenty left in the tank. But just the way he conducts himself in a professional manner, how he views the game, how he studies the game, how the game is really important to him, and he understands, over the long course of time, there are going to be ups and downs. But I think DeMarcus has really helped Vaughn in just understanding that, you know, there's a certain approach. If you really want to be a great player and sustain greatness, there's an approach that you have a better chance to have that happen by how you handle yourself both on and off the field. And I think we've seen Von Miller grow up quite a bit in that short period of time that DeMarcus Ware has been a Bronco.
Again, we're visiting with Dave Logan, voice of the Broncos, and speaking of veterans who are students of the game, they've got a lot of company, of course, on the quarterback, Peyton Manning. I've heard people say, including Chris Collinsworth and one of our guests who's going to be on a bit later, Andy Benoit of Sports Illustrated, that they believe Peyton is still ascending. And I know here in New England, a lot of people are waiting for Tom Brady's career eventually to reach the point of decline, but some of us still think he's getting better in some ways, even as age advances. Is Peyton, in your mind, becoming a better quarterback in different ways, even at 38, as many years as he's been in the league?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think he's better in some regards and probably not as good in others. I think, and he would be the first to say, physically at 38, he probably does not throw the ball with the velocity he did at 28. But I will tell you this, I mean, this is a guy that threw for 55 touchdowns last year and I believe 5,477 yards, both records. He's got more, at least in my estimation, more pace on the ball this year than he did last year. And he has, I mean, Peyton Manning's always been a guy that he's been great for a number of reasons. I think one of those top three or four reasons is he's always been an accurate thrower. As a former wide receiver, I can tell you when you're running across the middle of the field, I mean, you want the ball in an area that not only you can catch it, but you can do something with it, and ultimately you can protect yourself from getting your head knocked off. He's great in that category, and he's as good this year as I've ever seen him. Of course, this is his third year with the Broncos, but his accuracy this year, he's made a handful of throws that honestly, the throws from depth, I'm talking 25, 30, 35-yard, 40-yard throws that you literally could not have walked down the field and handed the ball to the receiver and been any more accurate. And again, as a receiver, you just sort of shake your head and say, man, oh man, what a luxury to play with a guy like that. So I would agree with Chris Collinsworth in that respect. I think we have not seen any sign of decline, and I think in certain areas of his game, we are still seeing Peyton Manning continue to improve.
Dave, you might not have heard, though I'm guessing you have, that the forecast isn't very good for Sunday in Foxborough. It won't be as bad as last year, but it's not going to be anything like January in Denver for the AFC Championship. Peyton Manning, of course, has this tremendous body of work, but at least out here, people will say, well, Tom Brady's a good bad weather quarterback. Yep. Peyton struggles in the elements, as he did, it seemed, last year in the second half in particular in Foxborough. Is there any granite of truth to that notion? Or in your mind, you know, is that a fallacy? And I guess, does Peyton get sick and tired of hearing those questions?
Well, we'll start in reverse. I think he does get tired of hearing them. He becomes a little agitated when he has to defend them. I think the Broncos would say that's not the case. But listen, I'm somebody that you know, you have to call what you see, and I think the data would support anybody thinking that Tom Brady is a really good cold weather quarterback, and the data would support that Peyton Manning teams have not played as well in cold weather. Now, I think there's a couple of reasons for that are significant. One, Peyton played all of his games inside when he was with the Colts. And so he didn't have a lot of opportunity to play outside. And so when the Colts and the Patriots were playing, I mean, how much of those games were a reflection of the Patriots being a better team? I think if you're a Peyton Manning fan, you could make that case. I also think what I've seen from Peyton since he got to Denver, we have had, although not as many as in the Boston area, but we've had our fair share of cold weather games. And I've seen Peyton play pretty well in those games. We had a game last year against Tennessee that was really cold at home. They had 93 or 94 snaps of offense. And so I don't think, unless it's, you know, unless it's below zero, and if that's the case, I may pack up and go home too. But I don't think the weather on Sunday will affect Peyton nearly as much as some fans would hope for.
And finally, a couple of quick thoughts. What do you see in Emmanuel Sanders and what he's added to that offense?
Much respect for that dude. You know, he came from Pittsburgh, and you think of guys his size as being a speed receiver, as being a guy you can throw a hitch to or a stop route to, and he can make somebody miss and go 50 or 60 yards. And he's got that. What I didn't realize he had was an ability and a willingness to go inside and catch the ball. There are receivers to play in this league for a long time that have to make their living in the middle of the field. And back in the day, there was a price to pay for that, not so much today. But this is a guy at 10 and 185 pounds that has really shown an ability and willingness to go up in traffic, to sacrifice his body, to make a catch that you would think guys his size with that kind of athletic ability might shy away from. I haven't seen that from Emmanuel Sanders. So to me, he's been as important a free agent acquisition as any of the big name guys the Broncos signed in the offseason on the defensive side of the ball.
And lastly, John Fox, perception outside of Denver. Yeah, I think people recognize him as being a very good defensive coach, at least here in judging what people think based on the talk radio shows, for what that's worth. But you're around him all the time, and this is a guy who's led two different teams to the Super Bowl now. He was a defensive coordinator for a team that got to the Super Bowl. What's John Fox like in your mind, and how good a coach is he?
I think he's a really good coach. I think he's a real good defensive coach for sure. I think that's the proof's in the pudding there. I think he also is a coach that has been very good at all of a sudden you've got Peyton Manning, a chance to coach one of the great quarterbacks of all time. You have been, quite frankly, a conservative offensive coach throughout the course of your career. Now all of a sudden you basically turn over the reins to a guy that is going to set all sorts of records by throwing the ball in the offensive end. I think that was completely foreign to John Fox. I think if you ask John honestly, he would say, I'd rather run the ball. I'd rather play pass when we have to, limit the opportunities to turn the ball over, and the worst thing that happens, we punt the ball and let's go play a great defense. Well, what the Broncos are about now, since Peyton Manning has arrived, is the antithesis of that. So I credit Fox for sort of setting his ego aside and finding a way to embrace the offense, and Peyton Manning is sort of what Adam Gase, the coordinator, does. And I think he's done a great, great job of that. And I think he's a better football man than given credit for. He comes off as this jovial, you know, guy on the sideline and always cracking jokes. But I think just being around him a little bit, there's a lot of football knowledge there that some people might not know or respect.
Well, we certainly, in the last 15 minutes or so, got a sense of your football knowledge. I know it's tremendous, and I appreciate you sharing a little bit with us. Thanks so much,
pleasure.
And look forward to seeing you Sunday.
That sounds good, Bob. I'll see you at the stadium.
All right, Dave, take care. Dave Logan does an outstanding job as the voice of the Broncos, and again, somebody who's got a tremendous track record as an athlete and as a coach in football and as a broadcaster, really does a great job of calling play-by-play with, you know, again, an insider's knowledge of the game, capturing the nuances of the Denver Broncos and the NFL. Dave Logan with us. We heard from Scott Zolak as well. Coming up in a second hour, in our second hour of the show, we'll hear from Jackie Britton of Patriots.com. Dante Hightower, the third-year linebacker of the Patriots, really continuing to flourish in my mind as a young player on the rise in this league. And Addie Benoit of the MMQB and Sports Illustrated. But first, we'll take a timeout from inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here on the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Pumped up for this week's game?
Baseball! Protein bars for everybody!
Well, we are too.
Energy!
Call the Bob Soucy Show on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you back inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios, getting set for this Sunday's matchup of the Patriots and the Denver Broncos. Just perusing the practice report today for the Pats, really nothing that stands out other than Chandler Jones, of course, did not participate in practice, but we expect him to be out the next 4 to 6 weeks with what was reported as a hip injury. Jackie Brayton is with us, and she spent some time in the Patriots locker room a short while ago chatting with some of the players, like the rest of a big media contingent. And Jackie, yeah. The emphasis on big, because a lot more media types than usual this week for the Patriots Broncos.
Yeah. You can definitely tell it's Denver week. Am I on? I don't know. Sorry. I can't hear myself. You can definitely tell it's Denver week for sure. A lot of media, but not so many players in the locker room today. Oh, here we go. I found it. sorry. I couldn't hear myself for a minute.
I understand how you feel. A lot of people don't like to hear me, and there are times when I don't want to hear myself.
Like,
but
okay, maybe I'm muted. That's fine. a lot of media today. It's insane. So many people in there, but not a lot of players. I feel like Wednesdays usually we hear from a lot of guys, but today it was pretty quiet and subdued in there. We saw Alan Branch, but he said he wasn't going to talk to anyone until he plays or until he feels ready to, but. So, Brandon LaFell wasn't really in the mood to talk to us today, so kind of a swing and a miss.
There is a lot of Alan Branch to see, too, the former Arizona Cardinal, Seattle Seahawk, and Buffalo Bill out of the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
6'6", a listed 325 pounds.
Yeah, he's easy to find on the practice field, that's for sure. Saw him out there today with the team practicing, and so we got some of that, but... I don't know. Seems like a nice guy. Never met him before today, but seems nice. I mean, he was just in there, said he wouldn't talk. That was pretty much it.
Jonathan Casillas, another of the newcomers, sixth-year linebacker, was with the Tampa Bay Bucks and previously the Saints, just acquired via trade.
Right. He was out there on the field today. Of course, we don't get to see a whole lot, but just warming up and stretching and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, the newest Patriots, it seems like they're making some moves defensively, so that shows you where their interest is, where they're kind of gravitating towards. But, they seem like nice guys, but quiet day in the locker room, which is weird for Wednesday. It's kind of like, kind of spooky, not to use a Halloween reference, but it is.
Well done, whether intended or not.
Yeah, kind of intended.
And Tom Brady even used a Halloween reference.
I know.
Had to,
time to put the nail
alert
in the
media
coffin.
To it. Yeah,
he did.
Put the nail in the coffin.
Quite literally alerted the media, yeah. He was good today. He had some good stuff to say, but I think it's funny, the Brady Manning, the storylines are just completely endless. And, especially like when you think about last year, it was the Sunday Night Football matchup and, the coldest game Gillette Stadium had ever seen. And, you know, it's Tom Brady. It's, yeah, Tom Brady, Wes Welker coming back. And then, you know, Brady Manning. It's like, it's just, I think we've pretty much seen it all. I watch this game be like totally like not that exciting. I find that hard to believe, but I'm just saying we've pretty much seen everything when it comes to these two quarterbacks, these two teams.
Well, I think the storyline is discussed and hyped and my view, overhyped over and over and over
beaten
again.
Down,
yeah, Brady
down,
versus
sure.
Manning.
I mean,
and last year, of course, there was also that intrigue of Welker coming back,
right.
And that doesn't seem to exist this year.
I know. I mean, I got to tell you, I think the biggest storyline, Bob, do you want to hear what I think the biggest storyline is? Gostkowski is the leading kicker in the NFL right now in scoring.
As he has been the last 2 years. He's got a chance to equal Don Hudson and Gino Capoletti, the great Gino Capoletti.
There you go. That's the biggest storyline
to me. By leading the NFL and scoring three straight years.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you for sure. It's definitely overhyped. I mean, it's great to watch. I mean, this is the kind of matchup like that you want to watch. But also, how about the other side of the ball? You've got Darrell Revis and you've got Aqib Talib coming back. I mean, you've got two of the best corners in the league who are going to be here. I mean, no one's really talking about that.
Well, and that's why, you know, I say overhyped because Tom Brady's not going to pass defend Peyton Manning. Peyton
right.
Manning's not going to line up at
right.
defensive end to try to defend Tom Brady. Obviously, these are two of the all-time greats, and you can have a great argument that would be endless and winless. Which one is the better if you put a New England fan and a Bronco fan side by side?
Right.
But these are two very good teams.
Right.
Certainly the Broncos at 6-1 as the reigning AFC champions,
right.
the team the Patriots have to beat to be the number one seed in the conference and get to the Super Bowl. But this is also just week 9.
Yeah.
This is not the AFC championship round like the last time they met.
This is definitely going to be the best team they've faced so far this season. But, you know, Denver is the best at stopping the run in the league, and I think that that's interesting specifically for this matchup. You know, we kind of saw Jonas Gray break out last week, so I honestly expected to see more of Brandon Bolden. I was surprised to see Jonas Gray have so much of an impact last week, so I think that the running attack for the Patriots, I'm interested to see how that shakes out, but it's going to be a good matchup for sure.
Well, one would think the Patriots have to establish at least enough of a running attack to pose the threat for the effectiveness of play-action passing.
Yeah.
And last year in the AFC Championship game, of course, the Pats were depleted going in. We know that Gronk had gotten hurt a little less than a month earlier. And the Patriots in that particular game really never got LeGarrette Blount on track. They had a couple of early short series, and before long they were playing catch-up. And they never got the running game in gear against a good run defense. And this Broncos defense seems to be even better suited to stop the run, but also to apply pressure on the quarterback.
Right.
And then in the secondary, there's Talib, there's T.J. Ward, there's Chris Harris Jr. It's a very talented
team.
They've
got Miller, Ware. You know, they've got 16 sacks between the two of them this season. And then you've got their defense is also the second best at forcing three and outs, which we know the Patriots really struggled with earlier this year, too.
Now, Patriot fans would be right to say, and Patriot observers, that, well, New England's defense is a lot better.
Yeah, that's certainly true, especially when it comes to winning the turnover battle. They're the first in the league at that with 16 takeaways. They've only given it up 5 times. So, I mean, as long as that stays on point, you know, and I think that Gronk will certainly be huge in this game. You know, you got to hope he's hydrated, but yeah, certainly going to be huge in that game.
You know, it's amazing the energy with which he plays.
Oh my gosh.
And seeing him last Sunday, Darrell Revis after the game was asked a couple of different times about Gronk, and Revis at one point was seemingly at a loss for words, except to say he's a man amongst boys. He's a man amongst boys.
Yeah.
And I think he used the word beast, which a lot of us invoke as well.
Right.
When talking about Gronk.
Yeah.
It really was something to watch him rumble past and over Chicago Bears last week.
I mean, I'm happy for him as a player. You know, like you can tell he's just been itching to get to this kind of stage. Well, I mean, it seems like on the outside, you know, and I think when he first started taking hits, it was like, okay, he's back, and he never seemed to be nervous or, you know, skittish from being hit by playing football again. And if anything, he's come back and I'm not going to say better than before, but like, you know, certainly kind of reestablished, you know, who he is and what he can do and what he can be for this offense. And you know Tom Brady loves having him out there. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's got to make him happy as, like, you know, the dynamic duo that they are and what they've accomplished. Like, I'm sure he has there's a lot off his shoulders having Gronk back out there.
We're joined by Jackie Britton of Patriots.com, and Well, we mentioned that Wes Welker's return to Foxborough for the first time, of course, as a Bronco last year was part of the intrigue going in. If there's any other storyline that's kind of an undercurrent in this game that has some intrigue, it would be T.J. Ward and Rob Gronkowski back on the field again. It was Ward who's hit as a Cleveland Brown sideline Gronk last year, ending his season and forcing knee surgery. And then maybe the other one that stands out for me anyway is the Aqib Talib for the Broncos coming back to Foxborough. But, of course, on the opposite side, Darrell Revis, there was that span of 24, 48 hours or so, and a lot of us thought, oh, no, the Patriots just lost to Aqib Talib. And then, oh, yay,
the emotions
they just got Darrell Revis.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were really stressed out that day. But they answered pretty well, I think. I think Darrell Revis has been – I think that his play has been, I guess, more subtle, but – I mean, he's certainly been productive. I think that he's getting some kind of unfair criticism so far this season, but he's really been able to shut down some guys that I just think it's been quieter.
Well, you know, it's funny. I look at the rankings. The Patriots, now granted, people say, well, they haven't played the kind of caliber of quarterbacks they're going to face, for example, the next month and a half. But they've had the number one pass defense.
Right.
You mentioned the takeaways. They're getting turnovers,
right,
which is something they didn't do consistently last year. People will point, and I've heard this several times this past week, people will point to a game like the Oakland Raiders game and say, well, he didn't shut down James Jones. The Raiders didn't score a touchdown in that game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think the expectations, the bar has been set so high.
Over the top.
And there's no doubt Sunday, Revis had a huge impact, as did Brandon Browner very early in that game, I think, against the Chicago Bears receivers.
Right, and again, I'll stick with Brandon Browner. I mean, eyes certainly on him. For sure. I mean, it's like cool to kind of watch the secondary really kind of gel together, come together. They've got a lot of bodies at cornerback now. Like, I mean, this kind of went from being an area where it was like, oh goodness, they're kind of getting a little thin, to now they're really bulked up. And it's fun to watch, like, the, you know, Browner, Revis, all those guys really start to like gel together and see the secondary that we've kind of been waiting to see.
Well, so good, in fact, and so talented, at least when you look at the collection that the Patriots have right now, healthy, that Alphonso Dennard was a scratch last week. And this is a guy who had two interceptions in an AFC divisional playoff last year.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they've certainly got a lot of bodies back there. Yeah, Logan Ryan's kind of been a, you know, quiet guy this year. But, yeah, I don't know, a lot of depth there, a lot of good guys there.
People wonder about the matchup of the Patriots and the Broncos and how each will play the other defensively. The Broncos have been primarily a man-to-man team in the secondary. The Patriots have really mixed things, and there are a lot of people around the league, one of whom we'll speak with in a short while, Andy Benoit of the MMQB and Sports Illustrated, documented how difficult it is to man-to-man in coverage against the Broncos. So that's another thing that I think a lot of people are intrigued by. How will these teams look to contain or stop the respective offenses of Manning and his collection of receivers, and Brady and his.
How will they physically match up? I wonder if Manning is one of those quarterbacks. Like, I wonder if the Patriots have the talent in the pass rush to rattle Peyton Manning. Like, that's what I wonder. I mean, you don't have Chandler Jones, fine, but I wonder. I mean, he kind of seems unstoppable to me.
Well, it's a great matchup. Again, the chess match of the two quarterbacks and the opposing defenses. And in the NFL, when you look at Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, as great as the physical attributes have been over the course of their careers, what really makes them stand out is the thinking part of the game. And Tom Brady talked about that today, how much he respects Peyton Manning's consistency because of what he puts into the game year-round. And a great part of that, of course, is acquiring more knowledge of opposing defenses and more knowledge of offensive play and just what he does as a student of the game.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and Tom Brady's the exact same way.
Exactly.
So makes sense that they would both be pretty comfortable in that area because they're both really good.
All right, Jackie. It's gonna be a cold day.
My gosh. Don't remind me of that.
Snowy.
You know, you're killing me. It's like 80 degrees out right now. It feels amazing outside right now. I can't even fathom the fact that it's going to be like possibly snowing on Sunday.
I know you're from Georgia, and I know it's only November, and you're not quite ready for snowfall. But you didn't look at the forecast early in the week and say, Manning and the Broncos are coming to town.
Yeah.
Just what Bill Belichick and the Patriots
ordered. Yeah, just what they want. But I'm sure I really do care about that. But at the same time, this will be the first game in my going into my third season here. This will be the first game where I will be on the field the entire game, So I honestly do not have, I'm not well equipped to be on the field for that long. So I got to go find a jacket that I can wear long enough to be on the field, because this will be the first time I'm not in the press box for the whole game. So I'll be on the field doing some in stadium stuff. So I will have to find a jacket that's good enough to wear. That's for sure.
So like one of those starters sideline jackets from a decade ago won't do it.
Yeah,
it's
got to
be
right.
Stylish as well as functional.
Well, at this point, I don't even care if it's stylish. If a brown bag will work, that's what I'll wear.
Now you're going to have a busy day. As you mentioned, you'd be on the field. You had a role a couple of weeks ago when Lawyer Malloy and
Deion
Branch came back for the Ty Law Hall of Fame celebration before the Patriots played the New York Jets.
Yeah.
An even grander celebration this weekend in terms of the numbers of players coming back from the three Super Bowl teams, because the Patriots are going to honor the teams that won 3 out of 4 championships, of course, the most recent in 2004.
Right, yeah, they'll be honored at halftime, and that's pretty much what I'm doing is, you know, I don't know with who I'm going to be talking to, but the plan is right now, I mean, unless something changes, to be talking to a few of those guys maybe, so... for all the folks in stadium, which I think should be exciting. They seem to like that.
So. Yeah, I think it's going to be a really great atmosphere, even with the snow, if that's what we get.
I know. You know what? I kind of just feel like I want to be like, bring it on, but not really. I'm nervous about it. But, yeah, I mean, that seems to be – why is that? It's like there are so many weird things. Like, I mean, Tom Brady is phenomenal in October, statistics-wise, and it just seems like – the stars always align for him, kind of. Like, I mean, playing the Broncos in October, the weather is going to be the coldest it's been. What? Yeah, November, sorry. But the weather is going to be the coldest it's been, like, the entire time. And I just don't, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what is it about this matchup?
The weather always seems
to go in his favor.
Except in the AFC Championship last year.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
Gorgeous setting for that game.
Yeah, that's true. That was way, way better for Manning. But the cold part I'm talking about, like it being like so cold that was the worst it'd been. It was like 22 degrees.
Worst
at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, again, the coldest regular season game in stadium history. And of course, this Sunday's game follows these
80 degrees right now. It's 80 degrees right now.
Incredible temperatures.
Yeah, I know. I can't get over it.
In the final days of October before November.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Roars in.
I cannot believe it's week 9. It's fast.
All right,
it's going.
It is. It's amazing how fast the season does go, but there's still a long road ahead for these teams.
And the bye week comes at a good time, for sure.
Absolutely. Lastly, you're nervous about the weather. Are you nervous about the outcome? What are your thoughts about the game? Lastly, a prediction of sorts from Jackie Burton of Patriots.com.
Well, I'm definitely not going to predict, you know, being shut out at the half and coming back 30 points, whatever it was, and winning it in overtime last year. But I think they're going to get up into the 40s scoring-wise. I think the Patriots will pull it out. I want to say it's going to be a field goal. I really do. I think the Patriots will pull it out by a field goal, scoring up into the 40s.
So you're looking at a near repeat of last year. Maybe not necessarily in how they get there, but a game decided on a field goal on the high-scoring side.
Yeah.
The Patriots won, of course, in overtime last year, 34-31 on the Steven Gostkowski field goal after a 22-degree game-time temperature.
Yeah, I think that the Patriots offense has certainly been clicking, but they're going to have to answer. I mean, there's, in my opinion, no doubt that Denver's going to be on fire. And I think that the Patriots are just going to have to match that.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun.
Right.
And a lot surrounding the game, as we noted, with the Super Bowl championship celebration for the Pats.
Yeah.
Jackie, thank you for your time.
Thank you,
as always.
Appreciate it.
And you can find Jackie on Patriots.com as well as Patriots All Access, as we've noted, on the WBZ in Boston and as well on Patriots.com after the show airs live this Friday night.
Always a pleasure.
All right, Jackie Burton with us, and we touched on last year's game between the Patriots and the Broncos, and Jackie noted how the Broncos jumped out to a big lead over the Pats. 3 turnovers by New England in the early going helped the Broncos build a 24-0 lead by halftime before the Patriots were able to come back, and really the greatest comeback in New England Patriots franchise history. Let's revisit that game, plus the not-so-great conclusion to the 2014 season for the Pats in the AFC Championship game.
Brady under center. Pulls away, hands it to Ridley. He runs it up the middle. The ball popped free. And Von Miller picks it up for Denver. Running it past the 45 to midfield. Down the Patriots' right sideline to the 30, to the 20. He is gone to the 10. He is on his way to the end zone. A scoop and a score. Blunt runs it to the left. LeGarrette outside. A burst across the 40, barreling forward. Close to the first down marker. The ball came loose at the end of the play. No whistle shouting. The Broncos on the return down the right side. Trevathan eventually forced out of bounds.
Really can't believe what you're witnessing right here. And that ball's out. That's a fumble. Patriots are handing the Denver Broncos the football game in their own stadium on a primetime telecast.
Take one play at a time. You can't do anything to the scoreboard. The only thing we can do is take one play at a time. Just keep on driving. Don't think there's going to be a miracle where you can score a touchdown. It counts as more. So just take one drive at a time, one play at a time, and worry. Don't worry about anything else. And the message got across, and it was a great second half on both sides of the ball.
Ready off the snap. Looking right. Throwing for Edelman. Back corner of the end zone. Tumbling with a touchdown for the Patriots as he makes the catch. Falling to the backside. Throws across the middle. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
All of a sudden, you don't feel as cold.
Throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Prince to the end zone. Oh. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown. And the lead for the Patriots.
Tom Brady with his 351st touchdown pass. You can have your Manning. I'll take my Brady. It's on. It is on.
It's a high-hanging kick. A good punt with Welker. Starting forward. Now backs away. The ball's going to bounce. He hit a Bronco. Patriots recover. The Patriots have it. The ball is covered up by New England's Nate Ebner at the 12-yard line.
You've got to be kidding me.
It appeared to hit Tony Carter of the Broncos, and the Patriots recovered on the carom. Trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the uprights, and the kick is a game winner. The Patriots come back and beat the Broncos 34-31.
And what a crazy game, and what a fun finish. To come back and win like that is definitely special.
Brady with a play fake to Ridley, drops back. Tom has a lot of time, throws it down the left side. Edelman open inside the 25, but beyond the reach of his right hand. Incomplete, second and 10.
Edelman runs through coverage. He's 6 yards behind a defender. Brady flat out missed him.
Shotgun snap to Pate, drops back. Pressure comes up the middle, and Manning throws it across the middle. The ball is knocked down, incomplete. Shaken up on the play. Patriot defensive back, Aqib Talib. He's on all fours at the 26-yard line, involved in that pass breakup.
Is it another pick play? I mean, when are they going to call it both ways here?
Manning with a play fake. He rolls right on the bootleg. Manning looks to the end zone. He flips one to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver. He found a wide-open tight end, Jacob Tammy. Brady takes the step. He looks to the right. He fires to the right. Catch by Edelman. Touchdown as he dives in, and the Patriots are finally in the end zone.
God, that seemed like it took 4 hours.
Marines in the backfield. Up Brady's right hip. Chain takes the handoff. He runs the right. Hit behind the line. Stuck. Did not get in. Broncos hold. The difference is 10. Peyton Manning is in victory formation. And the quarterback of the Broncos will take the knee. Drops to the left knee. And Denver celebrates. The Broncos have beaten the Patriots in the AFC Championship 26-16. Congratulations to Peyton Manning, John Fox, and the entire Broncos organization. For the Patriots, for the words might ring hollow right now, nonetheless, a disappointing end to still what was a fabulous ride through 2013 en route to a 12-win campaign.
And the Patriots indeed won the 12 games in the regular season and, of course, defeated the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC divisional round. Dante Hightower played so well in that contest for the Patriots as a second-year linebacker at the time. And Hightower as well played a big role in the Patriots' regular season win over the Broncos before New England fell to Denver in the AFC Championship, doing so, of course, very depleted defensively without the likes of Jerod Mayo and Vince Wilfork and Tommy Kelly, all of whom were instrumental in the Patriots' start to the season. but along the way were lost for the duration. Once again, without Jerod Mayo in 2014, it has been Dante Hightower, now, of course, a third-year linebacker for the Patriots, who's had a stand in that role in the linebacking corps. In essence, the quarterback of the defense wearing the green dot, communicating the defense as a relay from the sideline and defensive coordinator Matt Patricia. Dante this season certainly seemingly more comfortable and confident in that role. He has started at linebacker for six of the first eight games. The two exceptions were while he was sidelined with a knee injury, and Hightower came back from that knee ailment to play against the New York Jets on a short week for the Pats, and of course more recently played well against the Bears, tallying eight tackles and a half sack, and that half sack led to a fumble recovery and a touchdown for the Pats, Rob Ninkovich. We had a chance just a short time ago when the Patriots locker room was open to the media to spend time with Dante Hightower getting ready for the Denver Broncos. We asked him what it's like to go into a game like this, playing the chess match opposite Peyton Manning. If a defensive play caller in setting the defense, in trying to read Manning's mannerisms, and of course react to his words, has to avoid the temptation of trying to match wits with him, because of course Peyton uses a lot of dummy calls and a lot of physical gestures that often are meant to throw the defense off his scent.
You know, what's one thing that you don't want to do is, you know, don't want to try to match wits for wits with Peyton. I mean, he kind of does the exact thing that a lot of defenses try to do to younger quarterbacks, which is, you know, a lot of those calls that he makes at the line are just dummy calls. You know, sometimes you see him up there and he's screaming, you know, one game Omaha means something, next game it doesn't. So more or less it's going to be, you know, us just going out there and trying to get it done. You know, obviously if he makes some certain checks, you know, trying to get, you know, feed off of that, but you know, not trying to go in and to think, you know, I'm gonna outwit Peyton Manning, because I mean, he's been doing it for a lot longer than any of us have, so that's definitely not a fight that, you know, we want to go in with.
You mentioned the Omaha call and try to recognize that and pick up trends and maybe get a clue as to what he's going to do. Do you listen to both the TV copy and while you're watching the coach's film, and do you use both so you can have the sound of his voice as well as studying what they're doing schematically on a coach's video?
Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of those veteran quarterbacks are a lot smarter than that. I mean, the Drew Brees, the Peyton, the Tom. I mean, they know people watch the TV copy. So, you know, one week Omaha means this, next week it means nothing, then it's a dummy. So, I mean, if you're trying to go out and write down everything that Tom says or Peyton says or Drew Brees says, 9 times out of 10 you're going to lose that match.
And you got to concentrate on the weapons that the Broncos have. Is this offense as good, if not better, than the record-setting offense Denver had a year ago?
You know, that's tough to say. I mean, they're just as good. You know, I'm not going to go out there and say they're better or worse, but, you know, they added Emmanuel Sanders, which is a great receiver, great weapon for them. You know, Hillman's been playing great. Thomas, of course, and Thomas and Tanner's been doing a great job. And, you know, that's not even counting, you know, the other Thomas brother and Wes. So, I mean, those guys have been playing, you know, pretty well this year, a lot, actually, you know, more than pretty well. But, I mean, we're just going to have to get in the film room, study, and get ready for that.
Well, with Dante Hightower, this Patriots defense is playing very well. Best pass defense in the NFL, and coming off really a terrific showing against the Chicago Bears, taking control of that game early. What's different about the defense now going into Week 9 than early in the season? Even though you guys have absorbed some really significant injuries, the confidence level, the execution of this defense as a whole?
You know, I just really think a lot of guys are just kind of settling down the road and understanding, you know, what we're trying to do here. You know, we're not trying to outsmart anybody. We're doing what we do, and we're putting some of the best players that we have out there. And with that, I mean, the communication levels and everything was like a lot better this past week. And, you know, if we can just continue to build on that each week, I definitely feel like, you know, we'll get better. And, you know, that's definitely something that we're going to need down the road.
How about from your standpoint, speaking of improved communication, now that you're wearing the green dot, in the second season in a row you've had an opportunity to be the quarterback of the defense, what's different in 2014?
I'm not a kid anymore. That's, I mean, you know, being a grown man and, you know, having to do it your second year with the communication, this defense is, you know, it's a lot of communication. But, you know, this year, I mean, last year, you know, I had Dev and I had Gregory back there helping me out. But, you know, this year it's a lot easier. You know, Jamie's helped me out a lot more. You know, Ninkovich is Ninkovich and Vince has, you know, helped me a lot more with the front, so I don't really have to communicate as much, you know, as far as it's, you know, maybe a stunt or something or a blitz. But, you know, it's just a lot easier for me now, actually having to be that guy to make the calls. You know, it's not just at practice. It's, you know, at practice in the game. So I'm a lot more comfortable with it.
Do you find that you really trust what you see now? You're able to recognize things and more quickly make the call with a lot more confidence?
Oh, of course. And then, you know, I got guys around me that's helping me out. You know, Revis is talking to me. Brown is talking to me. Logan Ryan, Alfonso, you know, all those DBs that are in there that are close enough to me, you know, they're alerting me for things. And, you know, it's just more or less about the defense, not more or less me, you know, just everybody communicating, everybody on one page, see the same thing through one set of eyes.
What makes it more challenging, though, from an outsider's point of view for you at this time is that you were coming off an injury. You had the short week to prepare for the Jets, and you returned to the lineup with really little time to practice for that game, and you're cast in that role. So how'd you get through it to this point?
I just knew my guys needed me, and that's kind of been the story all this year, you know, whether it's preseason or OTAs or whatever it is. I mean, guys are going to be nicked and banged up, but, you know, we want guys out there that are accountable, you know that the guys are going to do whatever it takes to be out there. So, you know, those guys trust me. So me going out there, you know, whether it's me at 70, 80%, whatever it may be, those guys know they can trust me.
With Dont'a Hightower, of course, you had experience being a guy who had to execute the defensive game plan at Alabama. How did that opportunity to play for Nick Saban, an NFL coach who worked with Bill Belichick, prepare you for this career?
I mean, it's the exact same, honestly. I mean, two peas in a pod. You know, a lot of people always ask, it's one of the first questions is, you know, how are Nick and Bill the same? I mean, they're exactly the same. And they coached together for a while. I feel like they're still pretty good friends. I'm pretty sure they talk on the regular or whatever. But it eased up a lot. I mean, you know, giving the middle linebacker a lot of communication, a lot of responsibility to grab hold of that. And, you know, I did the best I could in college. So now having my second opportunity to do it again in my third year, I feel a lot more comfortable, a lot more at ease knowing that that I've done it for 4 years there and then I did it for a year here. So I just got to continue to build on that.
Of course, there's an adjustment moving up to the NFL and a big one from the SEC. But when you're at Alabama, it seems like every game you're playing is a marquee game and you're playing for national championships. The pressure you faced in college, did it translate to the pro level playing games of this magnitude against the Broncos?
Most definitely. I mean, I'd lie to say it didn't. But, you know, you try to approach every game as a game like your last game. You want to do the best you can do. But, you know, weeks like this, you got to give it a little bit extra. You know, the extra 30 minutes that you watch film maybe has to be an hour. So you just want to be as comfortable as you can with the game plan and be ready for some funky adjustments or something because, you know, Peyton's probably drawing up something right now. So just want to be prepared on everything.
Speaking of the SEC, of course, the Crimson Tide have been the dominant program or the best program consistently over the last 4 or 5 years, but Ole Miss, Mississippi State have been the upstarts this year, so I guess Brandon Bolden, Deonte Skinner, who's been with the team, of course, two guys have been wearing their Mississippi State pride. How much of a good-natured rivalry is there within this locker room? The guys from LSU, Stephen Ridley, Brandon LaFell, and guys like yourself.
I'm going to be honest, for these last couple of years, I've been giving them a little bit more trash because you know, I think Alabama's kind of had taken over these past couple of years. But, I mean, it's always good rivalry. I mean, whether it's, you know, Alabama winning a national championship or LSU or whoever it is. I mean, you know, actually, you know, playing against these guys in college and then seeing them in the league, in the pros and actually being on the same team, you know, it just brings back fun memories and things like that. So, I mean, it's fun to joke around and poke around each week. You know, who you playing, those are chumps or whatever. So, I mean, it's fun just to joke around.
Is there one guy in particular who gets to you more than any others?
We don't have an Auburn guy in here, I don't think. So, I don't think so. I think LSU, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State, and Arkansas might be the some of the only guys that I'm really worried about.
When you speak of Auburn, Alabama, is there anything like a rivalry on the college level of that nature, the two schools in state, the histories that they have? I mean, even in professional football, as great as the rivalries can be here?
Honestly, man, I couldn't call it. I haven't been a part of too many rivalries that are as big as that, so I'm definitely leaning towards that rivalry. I mean, there's a lot of great rivalries in NCAA, but I definitely feel like Auburn's one of the best ones.
With Dont'a Hightower talking about Alabama originally, my understanding is that you were a pretty good running back coming out of high school. How'd you become a linebacker in Alabama?
Man, I went to a pretty small high school, and I played everything, so I think Alabama wanted me more for my defensive mind than my offensive mind, which I mean those days were fun. Probably won't ever get those back again, but those were good days.
had to be pretty good running, obviously, with the ball in your hands. And now as you run in pursuit of the ball, do you enjoy that aggressiveness when you have an opportunity to make a play on the move as a running back? Because we've seen you do that in the pocket this year, applying pressure on quarterbacks as well.
Most definitely. I mean, the only difference between playing running back and linebacker is that when you're playing linebacker, you don't have the ball. You got to read the lineman just like a running back does. So some of those instincts I still have, and I still try to use those to my advantages, especially playing, you know, good quarterbacks with great vision.
Speaking of instincts, I want to go back to the season opener play you made when Ryan Tannehill was intercepted. It looked like you were going to cover it in the flat, and then you made a late break to him, hit him about the time he released, and eventually the ball was intercepted downfield. Is that a play that's drawn out that way, or did you just react to what you saw?
I wouldn't say it was drawn out that way. I was coming on the rush, and I knew Clay was, you know, one of their key guys, and he flared out the backfield. Mayo had him in coverage, but I felt like it might have been a screen, so you know, I hesitated, gave him enough time to get there, and then easily ran a great stunt, allowed me to get upfield and get some pressure on Tannehill and let Alfonso come down with the ball.
And a play like that, is that a play that you were prepared to make a year ago, 2 years ago, speaking of that maturity and your experience in the league?
Probably not. I mean, you know, sometimes whenever you're a younger guy, you don't want to do things like that, because if you do it and it's not the right way to do it, you know, it might have been a shuffle pass or something, and I flared out with it. You know, I'd get ripped a new one, and I might see some time on the bench.
Dante, lastly, and you had a big play, of course, on Saturday, in which Easley was involved, as was Zach Moore, leading to the strip sack and a fumble recovery return for a touchdown by Rob Ninkovich. What do you think of the young guys and the progress they've made? Again, put into the fire in a regular season of the NFL year one, and doing so and feeling admirably, it seems, thus far.
Definitely. I'm not going to say I don't expect those guys to do it. I mean, you know, Chris Jones and Joe Villano did the same thing last year. You know, Easley and Zach Moore, those are two guys that really work hard, you know, whether it's in the weight room or on the field. You know, they're willing to do whatever they ask, whether it's special teams or defense. And, I mean, those guys, whenever the numbers call, they're always ready. So I definitely admire those guys for that, you know, getting in there, staying in Vince Wilfork's ear, staying in Nikovic's ear and Chandler's ear, and just learning as much as they can.
You guys get the call Sunday at 4:25. All the best against the Broncos. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Dante Hightower, third-year linebacker of the Patriots, again getting ready for Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, etc., etc. The Broncos and the Patriots, 4:25 kickoff Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium, in a matchup of two teams, each riding a four-game winning streak, and of course, each coming off an appearance in last year's AFC Championship game. We'll take a timeout. When we return, we'll hear from Andy Benoit of the MMQB.com and Sports Illustrated, somebody who studies video around the NFL as intensely and as well as anybody in the league, and he'll share his insights about the Broncos and the Patriots coming up next here on the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And as we welcome you back, of course, about a month ago, before this four-game winning streak for the Patriots, in New England, the sky was falling, but there was a voice of reason from Big Sky Country out in Boise, Idaho, where the MMQBs and Sports Illustrated's Andy Benoit captured, really, the Patriots, in essence, coming off that Monday Night Football loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, a humiliating defeat in a lot of different ways for the Patriots that had many questioning the future short-term and long-term of the organization. And Andy said back then that it's not a micro problem for the Patriots, or rather not a macro problem, but rather a micro problem for the Patriots. And he takes time now to join us. You can follow him at Andy Benoit, Andy_Benoit. And again, he writes for the Peter King website, the MMQB, and for Sports Illustrated. In fact, he crafted all the previews in this year's NFL preview issue for Sports Illustrated. Andy, appreciate your time today. And certainly the last 4 weeks, the Patriots have lived your words from a month ago.
Well, yeah, they have, and that was the country's reaction to that loss to Kansas City was the biggest overreaction I've ever seen during an NFL regular season week. I mean, it was way over the top. It was a bad game, a bad night, and people started questioning the continuation of the Brady Belichick legacy, which was just absurd to me.
Well, what specifically have you seen these last four games? Granted, many say the quality of competition hasn't been nearly what the Patriots are going to face these next 4 weeks. But what you have seen over the course of the last month, how did the Patriots get things turned around?
Well, they have diversified their offense a little bit. They early in the year, they were really trying to be a three-receiver pass-based offense, and they have installed Tim Wright and Shane Vereen more into the system. And those guys aren't getting a ton of touches, but their presence on the field dictates other matchups, and it gives the Patriots great formation flexibility. And in other words, we're talking about more options for Tom Brady and how he can operate and carry the show, which he's done extremely well because of that. So something else that has stood out is their running game has really created a great play-action game, and they may not even need the run to be effective on play-action. They are so good with hard play-action on first down, and that's what they killed Chicago with, and I would expect we'll see that more and more as the season continues.
What is it about the nature of the Patriots' offense that requires that diversification, as you say, first and foremost, having, in your words, the full breadth of eligible receivers running routes?
Well, for one, they don't have a ton of talent on that offense. It's not a bad offense, but aside from Gronkowski, they don't have any individual matchup nightmares. And so you have to diversify to create those matchups, to manufacture them through the scheme. And with a guy like Tom Brady, who's as smart as he is, experienced, and can still make all the throws, if you're manufacturing offense through scheme, then you're going to be okay because he'll find mismatches. Example last week was with that hard run action I talked about, Brandon LaFell working against Lewis Jean, the Bears' backup cornerback. That's the kind of stuff that you can get, those kind of things, or guys working inside the formation against linebackers. Another great example was, I think it was the Gronkowski touchdown. He came out of the backfield and split wide, and he got Shea McClellan matched on him, a linebacker who's converted from defensive end. That's the kind of stuff you can do when you have the diverse formations. You can dictate what the defense does, and that makes if you study well as a team heading in, you're going to know how the defense will respond to that, and just knowing that, you're going to play faster, more confident, much sharper.
The first two examples you cited, when Brady gives the play fake and then he comes backside on the slant to LaFell, and then, of course, throwing anywhere in the vicinity of Rob Gronkowski, can a defense do anything about either one of them?
Oh, boy. We'll find out this week, because if there is a defense that could match up to that kind of thing, it would be Denver. And we may not see as much run action this specific week just because the Broncos play so much man coverage, and play action is not usually as effective against man as it is against zone, because the defenders don't have as many eyes on the football. But teams that play good man coverage, I think that's always the best answer to take away these mismatch-creating things, is if you have enough bodies to handle it. Where that can become complicated, though, is New England's also very good with man-beater concepts like motion and stack releases. So we're going to see a different type of offense this week, and I think we'll learn a lot about New England, because if they can win with some of the stuff they'll have to do, now the answer to your question, can the mismatches be stopped? The answer very well could be no.
We're joined by Andy Benoit, and again, you can follow him on Twitter at Andy_Benoit of the MMQB.com and Sports Illustrated. And speaking of the Denver defense, conventional thought seems to be, while the Broncos are the most complete team right now in the NFL, the area in which Denver has improved the most is on defense. And you talked about man coverage from the Broncos. Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward in the secondary, the additions along with Chris Harris. I know Talib was on your midseason All-Pro team. How has he impacted the defense, and what do you expect of them schematically this weekend at Gillette?
Well, Talib has solidified their man-to-man coverage. He's a lanky corner. You guys know Talib in New England. There's a lanky corner. He reads the field very well out of man, almost as if he's playing zone at times, which is rare to see, a guy that can thrive in bump-and-run coverage and off-man coverage. And I've heard from a lot of people griping to me about not putting Chris Harris on the All-Pro team and putting Talib instead, and I can't say those people are wrong either. I've been going back and forth all day thinking, oh, maybe should I have done that? Chris Harris has had a phenomenal season as well, and I think a big factor with both Talib and Harris is the addition of Bradley Roby, their first-round pick, has given them a full-time slot cornerback. And Harris was the slot guy last year, and he was very good at that. But now he's played strictly on the outside, and Roby is the full-time inside guy. With everyone stationed at the same spot, and actually this is what New England's doing more now that Browner's back in the lineup, with all these corners stationed at the same spot, rather than following around specific receivers each week, I think they've gotten more comfortable in what they do.
You talked about Roby in the slot, and Tlaib, of course, man-to-man being so effective. And we saw him a year ago moving outside, moving inside, wherever Jimmy Graham went for the New Orleans Saints. And he shut down Graham, although Tlaib was injured in that game, and Graham had a bad ankle by day's end. Nonetheless, he was able to take Jimmy Graham completely out of the Saints' offense. How would you expect Denver, based on what the Broncos have done thus far, with him in particular, to try to defend Gronkowski and the Patriots?
Well, for Denver defending, I don't think we'll see Tlaib on him. I mean, that's just because I think Denver has linebackers that they're comfortable with, and I think they're comfortable with T.J. Ward and man coverage on tight ends. Maybe not one-on-one ISO coverage all the time, but they signed Ward because of his ability, in part because of his ability to defend tight ends like that. So I would think we'll see a variety of that, but Marshall's not a bad cover guy for them. He's more their linebacker. He's more of a space player, though. So if we're talking about matching up to Gronkowski, I would expect it'll be T.J. Ward.
And Andy, as somebody who really breaks down what teams do after the fact, how has Jack Del Rio crafted this defense against the run the last year plus, year and a half, really, the best run defense in the NFL right now? We know there's talent up front with the two edge rushers in Ware and Miller. But inside, too, Knight and Wolf, how has Denver shut down the opposition's running game to date?
You know, they've done well with that a few times and stretches under Del Rio, and I actually asked him that once. Just we were sitting down at the combine, and I asked him that question, and he said one thing that they do in Denver, and I don't know if every team does this or not, but one thing that they do is they teach their guys when there's an eighth man in the box to not change their approach. So everything they do on defense in the run game is with the approach that it's a seven-man box. And he says that creates more discipline, high-energy effort, that type of stuff with the guys up front because they're not relying on somebody else. And so maybe that's a factor there. The other thing to keep in mind is they have very good athletes in Denver. I mean, Terrence Knighton moves extremely well for a nose shade, a guy with his kind of size. DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, we think of them as sack guys, but both can set the edge, both can change directions and chase down a ball carrier. And when you have guys that can control the defensive front, you make life a lot easier on your linebackers, and that's why we're seeing Brandon Marshall, who stepped into the lineup, he's playing very well, and Nate Irving's playing very well. They can go downhill and stay clean most of the game.
Have you seen a cause and effect with Ware and Miller? Has DeMarcus Ware kind of regained a spring to his step, and is he better suited where the Broncos are playing him the way they're playing him now? And has Miller benefited both physically, schematically, but also from what you can see just in terms of effort and emotionally, the impact that the leadership of a guy like Ware might have had?
Well, you know, it's tough. I can't speak to the leadership because I don't know either of those guys personally, and I haven't been in that locker room, so I don't know how they interact or what's motivating who. But schematically, they are tougher to double-team because there's a price to pay. If you double one, then you're mismatched against the other, that kind of thing. DeMarcus Ware, there was a false negative with him last year, too. He was not washed up in Dallas. He had the first injury-plagued season of his career, and the Cowboys decided he wasn't worth $16 million to them. Denver decided he was worth big money, and Denver's looked like they made the right choice there. So DeMarcus Ware has been DeMarcus Ware all along, and they've got that guy, and they'll get that high-level of guy, I would think, for the next few years if he sticks around there. Von Miller, you know, Miller, they move him around a lot more. I guess they've always moved him around, but it seems like he's getting a little more comfortable moving around, and he can beat you in so many ways. He's not just a speed guy off the edge. He's one of the fiercest impact hitters inside. He's got that Alden Smith violence with his hand jab. And he's tough to match up against. And so if he can play inside or outside, then you're going to get mismatches one way or the other with Miller.
Let's talk about the Broncos offense with Andy Benoit of the MMQB.com. You wrote in agreement with Chris Collinsworth of NBC that Peyton Manning is still ascending. Remarkable as it seems, how so?
Well, the numbers show it for one, but just take away the numbers. Manning is the best anticipation passer I've ever seen, and I would not be surprised if that statement holds true for the rest of my life. He sees, and especially against man coverage, you almost can't play man coverage against Denver anymore because, for one, their offense is very well structured against it, but for two, Manning has such a feel for angles and an understanding body language between guys and just reading the football field. I mean, he's an absolute master with that, and it's masked any of the decline in his arm strength, and uh, it's it's the reason Denver looks unstoppable right now. And I would argue that Tom Brady's also, you could say, over the last 2 or 3 years has been an ascending player, or been a better player than he was when he was winning Super Bowls or even in his early 30s. Both of these guys have been razor sharp with what they see on the field.
That might seem shocking to a lot around here, but you won't get an agreement from this vantage point watching Brady evolve, even adding mobility and creating plays on the move the last couple of weeks by design.
Yeah, you're right, and that's the reason they've done that is they obviously don't fully trust their offensive line yet. So as you put your quarterback on the move to change the pocket, and that changes the pass rush scheme, and the idea is to help your O-line. But I'm glad you mentioned on the move, because that's the thing that makes both of these guys brilliant. We don't think of them as mobile quarterbacks, but to me, mobile quarterbacking is the ability to make throws off of your movement. And just because you're moving 1 feet, 2 feet, 3 feet, you're not running outside the pocket, doesn't mean you're not still making the impact plays. And there are no two quarterbacks in the league that move within the pocket with as good of intuition and fundamental technique as Manning and Brady.
Andy Benoit, I know you've got to run in a couple of minutes. On a couple of final notes quickly, the middle of the field, and speaking of moving parts, the way these teams utilize one receiver to set up another, the crossing routes, the switch releases, as you've described them, is there really anything that a defense can do once they have a rhythm offensively, either the Patriots or the Broncos, because they love the rub in seems in equal measure?
Well, there are things that defense can do. I mean, there you can play the releases as a cover guy and coordinate and switch who's on who and all that. It's almost like defending a pick and roll in basketball to a certain degree. It's very difficult to do, but there are. It's not unstoppable. Keep in mind, if there were any unstoppable scheme in the league, every team would run that scheme on every play because it'd be figured out by then. So nothing is unstoppable, but it's when executed correctly, it's very challenging, and the difference is that the quarterbacks running the whole thing understand that.
And lastly, the weather on Sunday forecast to include snow early and possibly by game time as well. Winds
really?
In the neighborhood of 15 to 20 miles. Temperature starting out the day, is the last glance I had was in the 40s with snow in the forecast, and it's going to be a windy day in Foxborough, at least the early projections. Why is Tom Brady such a good quarterback in such conditions, and why isn't Peyton Manning, at least to date, in their careers?
Well, I struggle with that Manning question over the years, and I go back and forth, and I don't know if I have a good answer for you on that. I know why with Brady. Brady has underrated arm strength. He can cut the ball through the wind if need be, and I've always liked that part of Brady's game. And as far as Manning goes, that's a tough one. I think even the people closest to Manning and his coaches aren't sure how to answer that, or whether there really is anything to him in the weather or not. I don't know what the stats say, but as far as how they prepare for the game, I think that's a mystery for a lot of people, is what is behind that, if anything.
Well, we'll see how it turns out on Sunday. Andy, I can't thank you enough. I know you're up against it. We do appreciate the time, and I love reading your stuff on the MMQB.com and in Sports Illustrated. Thanks so much.
Hey, anytime. I appreciate you having me.
Andy, thanks again. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can chat down the line.
Yeah, that was fun. I had a great time with that. Thanks.
Oh, fantastic. Great. Thanks so much, and I'll thank Greg Bedard, too. He's the guy who passed along your number and your email to me. So.
Okay.
And that is Andy Benoit of the MMQB.com and Sports Illustrated. And my thanks, as mentioned to Andy, to Greg Bedard, who, of course, wrote for The Globe before joining Peter King's website and gave us the contact info for Andy Benoit and broke the ice for us with a guy that I had not heard of, frankly, a couple of years ago. But after the formation of the MMQB and the team that Peter King assembled, have begun reading his stuff in earnest the last few weeks. And, again, some great insight. Did a really interesting piece, I thought, before the Patriots played the Buffalo Bills. And what he analyzed was very consistent with the thinking of our broadcast team on the Patriots Radio Network, Scott Zolak and I, in breaking down how the Patriots might pose problems for the Bills going into their early October matchup with regards in particular to Braden Spikes, the former Patriot run-stopping linebacker, by utilizing the Patriots' two tight end set and the fullback James Devlin, and really forcing the Bills to make that decision with regards to whether to keep Spikes out on the field
in potentially running situations based on the Patriots personnel, but at the same time, knowing, of course, that you suffer a bit in the passing game if he's out there. And certainly, we saw early in that game, especially a lot of third down situations when Spikes was on the field, and the Patriots did a very good job both passing and running in the game before that with Tim Wright on the field against Cincinnati. And Andy Benoit really did what I thought was a fascinating breakdown of the Cincinnati 19 snap sequence with Wright on the field and how that could potentially cause some issues for the Buffalo Bills and a tough decision for Jim Schwartz going into that game with regards to Brad and Spikes and the Bills linebacker. Just a small example, and as noted as well at the top of that interview back on October 1st, he broke down the Patriots' loss at Kansas City, and while the rest of us were wondering, you know, what the future held for the New England Patriots, he was pretty confident in his analysis. And just to quote from the first paragraph of the piece on the MMQB.com back on October 1st, 2014. What's wrong with the Patriots? Well, first thing first, any talk about this team being washed up or needing a quarterback change or compromising itself by not signing any big-time wide receivers is so knee-jerkingly reactionary that we're not going to dignify it with elaboration. We're four games into a long season. New England's problems right now are micro, not macro. Well, 4 weeks later, the Patriots are riding a winning streak. They are 6-2 atop the AFC East, and they're ready for a showdown with the Denver Broncos, who again are 6-1 as the reigning AFC Conference champions. We look forward to that matchup. You can hear our broadcast on the Patriots Radio Network in the Boston area on flagship station 98.5, the Sports Hub. And, of course, we'll talk about it next week in a bye week on our Wednesday edition of the Bob Sosi Show from 4 to 6 here on Patriots.com Radio. Until then, my special thanks today to Zach Lane for filling in for Kevin Collins and for Kevin, of course, our esteemed producer as well. But most of all, thanks to you for tuning in, logging on and downloading and taking the time to spend with yours truly and our special guests today, Dante Hightower, Scott Zolak, Dave Logan, Andy Benoit, and, of course, Jackie Britton. Again, until next week, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Sosi Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right. Ridley dives to the goal line. He's in again! Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Sosi Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning, play fake, a throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball.
He's got it!
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it!
Patriots take over!
This place is berserk!
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Sosi Show.